is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Christopher Cruz. As Israel appears to be getting closer to a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip, President Biden spoke today with the leaders of Canada, France, Britain, Germany, and Italy. The White House said they talked about the ongoing war between Israel and the Palestinian Islamist group Hamas. Earlier today, Mr. Biden spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Pope Francis. A UN official says 14 trucks carrying aid have entered the Gaza Strip today. 20 trucks made it into the enclave yesterday. An Israeli tank mistakenly hit Egyptian forces today, says the BBC's Paul Adams.
The Israeli Defense Forces have released a statement saying that one of their tanks did accidentally fire on an Egyptian position very close to the Rafah crossing where the aid trucks have been trying to enter into Gaza. The statement concludes the IDF regrets the incident.
There is disagreement among Israelis about invading Gaza, says CBS's Holly Williams.
A ground invasion of the Gaza Strip is expected soon. But not everyone in Israel believes sending troops into Gaza is a good idea. Yifat Zeiler's cousin, Shiri, was captured by the militants, along with her 10-month-old baby, Kafir, and 4-year-old son, Ariel.
Going into Gaza now, I don't know, risks the life of those hostages.
The U.S. is increasing its military presence in the Middle East in support of Israel, says Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. He spoke on ABC.
This additional deployment sends another message to those who would seek to widen this conflict.
Austin said the U.S. is, quote, seeing the prospect of a significant escalation of attacks on our troops and our people throughout the region. Senior Republican Congressman Michael McCaul tells ABC it's essential for his fellow Republicans to elect a speaker.
I want a speaker in the chair so we can move forward and govern. My issues, my Committee of War and Peace, it's too dangerous right now. The world's on fire.
Republicans will try to elect a speaker this week. Police in Maryland say they've located the SUV driven by the suspect in the fatal shooting of a county judge on Friday. Details from CBS's Matt Piper.
Police are searching the area where a silver Mercedes belonging to a man suspected of gunning down a Washington County judge has now been found. The vehicle belonging to suspect Pedro Argote may have been there since Friday or possibly even Thursday. That's when Judge Andrew Wilkinson was found shot in his driveway at night after he presided over Argote's divorce case.
Michigan State is apologizing for the display of a picture of Adolf Hitler on a large scoreboard during a trivia quiz before the school's football game last night. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition, because the way we care is anything but ordinary. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Cameron Hall.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal government just announced plans to build so-called hydrogen hubs, and Wisconsin is part of two of them. But environmentalists are concerned developers might increase carbon emissions. Suzanne Potter explains.
The feds just announced $7 billion in funding to produce hydrogen, which is used in hard-to-decarbonize sectors like aviation fuel, steel and glass production, power generation, refining, and heavy-duty transportation. However, as Patrick Drupp with the Sierra Club warns, the devil is in the details.
And if it's done correctly, maybe we can create some truly clean hydrogen to decarbonize. And if it's done wrong, we have a chance to actually further fuel the climate crisis.
Wisconsin will be involved with the Heartland Hydrogen Hub and the Midwestern Hydrogen Hub. Conservation groups are pressing for so-called green hydrogen, meaning hydrogen produced by electrolysis of water molecules, using renewable power built especially for the hub. They don't want plants to rely on existing renewable power, because once it is used, utilities could turn to other sources, such as coal and natural gas, to backfill demand. Some groups say so-called blue hydrogen is more acceptable because, although it uses methane, a potent greenhouse gas, it captures any carbon emissions and sequesters them. Drupp says the Sierra Club opposes blue hydrogen.
It still carries all of the same problems of using methane. It carries the same problems of fracking, potential methane leaks as you distribute the gas around the country.
Next, the Treasury Department needs to issue its guidance on the hydrogen tax credit that was created in the Inflation Reduction Act. That guidance will greatly influence how green hydrogen is produced and how the accounting for total emissions from hydrogen production is done. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Suzanne Potter.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the... It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba. This is a special edition of the Todd Alba Show. The University of Wisconsin system in crisis. It is Tuesday, October 17th. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zomers. We welcome you in on not a happy day if you're in favor of the Wisconsin idea or public higher education across the state. We're going to be following several important news stories for you. Also following what's happening out in Washington, D.C. in the House of Representatives, the Speaker's race, where we can confirm and tell you that moments ago, the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives failed to elect a Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan, after saying he had the votes, took it to the floor, failed to become the Speaker. We seem to be back in the same position we were back in January. We will see how many ballots that will take. Mr. Zomers will be monitoring that as the show goes along. Here's what we have for you this afternoon on this special report. This has been happening in real time since late last night when the newspaper here in Madison, the Wisconsin State Journal, reported that the entire budget of UW-Oshkosh here in Wisconsin, that 1 in 6 faculty would be laid off or furloughed. That was followed up this morning by the Joint Legislative Committee in the legislature saying they will not extend the pay raises that were approved in the state budget because of their insistence and petulance over diversity, inclusion, equity, and inclusion. That was not going to happen. Then Jay Rothman, president of the University of Wisconsin system, announced that after months of dragging his feet, after he closed, I should say, suspended classes at UW-Richland last fall. The campus, for all intent and purposes, was closed in June at Richland Center. And now he announced recently, within the last couple of hours, they would close the campus at Richland. But that is not all. We knew that UW-Washington was also on the list, as they had already started the process to merge with the technical college in that part of the state. Classes are suspended at University of Wisconsin, Washington County. And now, moments ago, President Rothman of the UW system announced that in addition to those huge layoffs at Fond du Lac, that their branch campus, UW-Oshkosh Fond du Lac, in addition to Oshkosh, the UW campus at Fond du Lac will all, for intent and purposes, be closing as well. This is a crisis. This is an attack on higher education, in my opinion, but we're going to ask people who know. Joining us after the break, we have John Poole, former assistant campus dean for student affairs at UW-Richland. He is going to be here along with Linda Gentis. She is the chair of the Education Standing Committee for the Richland County Board. We'll ask her when she found out when the Richland campus was officially being closed. She is the chair of the Higher Ed Committee in Richland County. Then at 1:30, former Republican Majority Leader, former chair of the Senate Higher Education Committee, Dale Schultz will be here to offer his perspective. And along with him, Jason Stein, Research Director of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, who has written extensively on funding, not just recently, but over years. He wrote a piece back in 2020 that basically said, this is what's coming. We did a show at Richland Center almost a year ago, in November of last year, when it was announced by President Rothman that classes would be suspended. And we had on former Chancellor of the UW Colleges and Extension, the last one, Kathy Sandeen, who is now a president of university out in California. And she said, for the first time on the record, that she did address changing higher education needs in Wisconsin, wrote an entire report on how to do that without closing one campus. And that report was killed and buried by then president of the system, Ray Cross. Kathy Sandeen also agreed at the time, almost a year ago, that closing Richland was a canary in the coal mine. This gives me no pleasure, by the way. I'm not here to, oh, geez, I was right. I simply point out that what we did a year ago and the warnings that we put out there as a program, thanks to many of our guests, are now coming true today. And where is the legislature in this? And by the way, where is the governor in this? And how about the Board of Regents, who now the majority of whom have been appointed by Tony Evers? The lack of transparency, the lack of accountability is stunning and nearly unprecedented. The Wisconsin idea is on life support. And it's time Wisconsinites know what the heck is going on. We welcome you to this broadcast. We'll also take your phone calls as available, although our focus is going to be bringing you information directly from people who have been part of this, who know this is not opinion. We talked about this yesterday. Facts matter. And we're going to continue to explore the facts on this special broadcast. The University of Wisconsin System in Crisis, a special edition of the Todd Allball Show. We will be back after this with John Poole and Linda Gentis. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
wherever that may lead. Welcome to a special edition, a special report of the Todd Allball Show across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. You can download the Civic Media app by going to your favorite Apple or Android device, typing in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. It takes a minute. It is free. The Civic Media app, where you can find all of our fine programming. Welcome back to this special report. Aaron Zommer is on the board, welcoming you back in. University of Wisconsin system is in a crisis, and this is happening in real time, hour by hour. As we said in the first opening part of the show, it was announced last night that UW Oshkosh is going to lose 1 in 6 jobs across campus. Then, this morning, as the legislature met in committee, they refused to approve the 6% pay increase for UW system employees based on their opposition to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Moments later, it was announced by President Rothman of the system that branch campuses, the two-year campuses at Washington and Fond du Lac counties, will all in essence close. Classes are going to end. And then it was confirmed by Channel 3000 here in Madison that President Rothman also has confirmed that UW, they call it UW Platteville Richland, the Richland campus, will technically and formally close next year. All that breaking as we try to get to the truth here at Civic Media. Joining us via phone from Richland County, we have John Poole, former assistant campus dean for student affairs, and also Linda Gentis. She is the chair of the Education Standing Committee for the Richland County Board, and also a longtime member of the UW-Richland campus community, not the least of which was the coordinator for the International Student Program. John, Linda, thank you so much for joining me on what I feel is a very sad day for the Wisconsin idea across the state of Wisconsin. John, I want to start with you, because I've referenced you before on the show, and both of you joined me almost a year ago at the Richland campus and Richland Center when it was announced by President Rothman that the Richland campus would, for all intent and purposes, be closing. But John, we have heard this narrative time and again that it came down to enrollment. But for the record, you were the key cog, the key recruiter during your many years at the Richland campus when you took a very deserved retirement. The system, Platteville, refused to basically rehire or hire a person to replace you. Then when the local foundation offered up $600,000 to pay for that, they said no. And yet they come back to this narrative of low enrollment. John, can you confirm that on the air? And also, why has the UW system been so reticent to actually be transparent and address the problems that bring about low enrollment?
You know, it's fancy meeting you, Todd, right? at this venue. I mean, it seems like I could just say everything we said a year ago, and that's the end of our program.
Right.
I mean, we said this was going to repeat itself, and it did, and it has, and this isn't the end of it either. You know, I noticed that President Rothman said today, and I quote, "I think that's the market just telling us that the mission of the two-year branch campuses is not as attractive to prospective students as it once was," end quote. Well, I tell you what, when you don't properly staff and equip a campus to do its job, when you don't actually have people out and about sending the message that this is a viable and wonderful opportunity, how do you expect enrollment to either maintain or grow? And that's what was done. And this was started a long time ago. It started with Governor Walker when he did the massive cut to the UW system. I retired 10 years ago. And shortly after that, the UW colleges moved to a regional model. That didn't work at all. And we thought maybe the branch campus thing was going to be the saving grace. But as it turns out, that was even worse, especially when you get lined up with a campus like Platteville. So it's just one sad tale after another. And for Richland Center, this is the end. We knew it was the end a year ago, but now it's official. And I feel bad. You know, we kind of joked a little bit a year ago. We said we could share our Save the Campus buttons with other two-year campuses because they were going to need them. And I don't think they all believed it, but it's too late for West Bend and Fond du Lac, and it's really too late for all the others because that's what's going to happen across the board.
I totally agree, John, because they put out this goofy new rebranding, spent $500,000 on rebranding, and on the new map, this is true. When there was a map of the UW system, it included the 13 4 years and the 13 2 years. On the new map, folks, they literally took off the two-year campuses off the map and only acknowledged the 4 years. I want to go to Linda Gentis. Linda, you are the chair of the Education Standing Committee for the Richland County Board. You have been doing fantastic work locally with local government, trying to work with the UW system to find a path forward to preserve the economic development, the education development. You have been one of the key cogs working with President Rothman and Vice President Jeff Barrant. When did you learn that closing the Richland campus was official?
I did not get any official announcement today that it was officially closing, which it has to only be done by the regents voting. And neither did our county board chair. So they closed it again, just like they made the directive November 22nd last year, without any knowledge of or communication with those of us in charge of the campus for the community.
I mean, I find that not only sad, I find it appalling and a lack of a complete lack of transparency on both the system's part and others. That's what's disturbed me, Linda. I went to a couple of those wonderful town hall type meetings that was sponsored by the Friends of the Campus. You folks, along with John and so many others, did great work. And the lack of wanting to talk and sit down and negotiate in good faith with the local folks, that's been one of the things that I have found most disturbing and certainly not in congruence with the Wisconsin idea.
Well, we did everything that we could. We were in negotiations from January to April and May with the UW system. They had everything on the table that was we thought was going to be good. But I'd like to say that the milieu across the United States, and especially in the Wisconsin legislature, of not funding higher education is really what's directly impacting. It's not number of students. That's what's impacting our campus and these other campuses. I can go on as we were the most affordable and accessible, but we were a thriving two-year institution in 2015. At that point, the state legislature decided to not support even more the UW system with reasonable amounts of money, a disorganized UW system arguing within its campuses, decided to decimate the UW colleges to get the money and the students that were attending the 2 years.
I want to bring this up.
I
want to ask both of you. I want to ask, not to cut you off, Linda, but unfortunately, I have commercials I got to get to. I want to get your response, your quick response from both of you on this. I was at one of the meetings when the state senator that represents Richland County and the campus, Howard Markline, who's the chair of the Joint Finance Committee, the most powerful committee in the legislature, when he and Representative Tony Kurtz told you all, quote, there's no money. Quote, there's no money to save the campus. There's nothing we can do. I asked them point blank range to do what's called a 999 to put money in the last motion, the joint finance. They said they couldn't do it. And on a 999, they ended up putting $3.5 million in for Washington County, which Governor Evers, I disagreed with, vetoed that out. But both of you, how dissatisfied, how frustrated have you been with the lack of transparency from the legislatures? Linda and then John. Linda, go ahead.
Well, I'm totally disgusted. I have been through direct channels told as the UW, as the county education chair, that I was supposed to stop complaining or they wouldn't do anything for us. So they wanted us to be sweeter so that they could think about giving us some money. And it has been extremely difficult because they're playing politics with the community and holding us hostage at the same time.
John?
Well, the whole thing is just ridiculous. And even this whole smokescreen about offering communities that lose a branch campus a couple of million dollars is just bogus. I think it's a re-election campaign. They can say, oh, we tried to do something. And even if it doesn't pass the legislature, they can say, oh, we tried. Well, you know, it's too little, too late. And I think most of us realize that this has been the end game all along. And we knew this was coming and it's not over. There's going to be a lot more pain in many more communities. And people are going to wonder what the heck happened. But, you know, there was a time when the campus was run appropriately and staffed appropriately. We had among the lowest cost per student indexes in the UW system. We were efficient and effective. And when you strip away everything, you lose all of that.
I want to disclose to our listeners, I know both you personally. I've known you for many years, but you've also been people I've known who have put your heart and soul into the Wisconsin idea. You've exemplified that, but what you've done at UW-Richland, no one knows this system in higher ed better than the two of you. John and then Linda, what do you see moving forward for the Wisconsin idea, John?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's just sad. I mean, this is like reliving a death all over again. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Linda?
Well, there's a movie out called Starving the Beast. And I watched it in the early part of this year. And basically, we're seeing that happen, that there is a lack of respect for higher education. And I think that will totally affect the rural areas even more than the urban areas. We need education. We need to have our jobs here. We need to have the type of thinking that comes from a university education. And this has dismantled that completely.
I think,
I could say one thing, that of all the communities in the state, it's a community like this that probably needs the campus more than any other. I mean, this is a very small rural county, economically disadvantaged, and the campus meant so much to this community, and it's lost.
I unfortunately couldn't have said it better. I'm unfortunate in that it's just 100% true. I do want to spend, we have about a minute left, John and then Linda. This campus has given so much over 50 years, has made a difference in people's lives, including mine. What's a good memory that you'll have from the work of the Richland campus, John?
Well, gee, actually, my best memory is going back to the summer of 1971 when I was walking downtown in Richland Center. I was looking for a job, and your grandmother, Marge Wallace, stopped me on the street and said, "Are you still looking for a job?" And that was kind of my interview. And I started in the fall of 1971 working as a student activities coordinator at the Richland campus.
We'll have to leave it there, folks. I'd love to have you both back. You're too kind. You've all done great work. We appreciate it. Thank you, John Poole, Linda Gentis. Stay tuned. Dale Schultz, Jason Stein on the other side, a special report of the Todd Allball Show in Civic Media.
CBS News Brief. The United Nations says 14 more trucks carrying much-needed aid have entered Gaza. The Commissioner General of a UN relief agency, Philippe Lazzarini, said on CBS's Face the Nation, more is needed.
What we need is a significant scaling up of a supply line into Gaza, and it needs to be sustained and it needs to be uninterrupted.
Congress remains shut down with Republicans unable to elect a Speaker of the House. Texas Republican Representative Michael McCaul on ABC.
It's my 10th term in Congress.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the most embarrassing things I've seen, because if we don't have a Speaker of the House, we can't govern.
The SAG-AFTRA Actors Union heads back to the negotiating table on Tuesday. KCAL TV's Tina Patel on a strike that has lasted more than 100 days.
Some members say as much as they want this resolved.
We didn't come 100 days to take a deal that we wouldn't have accepted 100 days ago.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Wherever it may lead, welcome back to a very special edition, a special report of the Todd Allball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network, across the state of Wisconsin, and around the world on the Civic Media app. It is Tuesday, October 17th, 33 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zommer is on the board. Welcome you back as we continue to cover UW system in crisis. Several stories breaking from last night into this morning. The avalanche started last night when here in Madison University, or pardon, University, the Wisconsin State Journal, rather, published a story out this morning stating that UW Oshkosh is going to see a huge reduction in staff as 1 in 6 jobs are going to be eliminated as part of the budget shortfall, particularly at Oshkosh. Then this morning, the legislative committee, controlled by Republicans, decided not to approve a 6% increase for state workers. By the way, it was approved in the state budget, but basically not, signed off on, so the state workers cannot have that because they are still opposed, particularly Robin Voss, to diversity, equity, and inclusion across the UW system. Then shortly after that, two announcements from UW system president Jay Rothman, the first of which that the campus at Richland Center, which had classes suspended for all intent and purposes closed, he announced it will be officially closed last year. He did not stop there, as he went on to further announce that classes at UW-Washington, which already was working with their local tech school in southeast Wisconsin, classes will be suspended there, and also at the two-year campus in Fond du Lac, which is now technically a part of UW-Oshkosh. We appreciate John Poole and Linda Gentis of Richland County joining us last segment. Joining us now via StreamYard here in Madison, Jason Stein, who is the research director for Wisconsin Policy Forum, wrote a great article back in 2020 called Falling Behind, which was really a canary in the coal mine for what's happening now. And also via phone, former state senator and majority leader Dale Schultz. He was also the former chair of the Higher Education Committee in the state Senate. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Dale, I want to start with you. As a graduate, I know your wife, your two children are both graduates of UW-Madison. As just a product of the UW system, put politics aside for a moment. When you hear me read through all these things that have happened in the last 12 to 15 hours, how do you feel?
Well, before we get into that, Todd, I think it's important that we tell the audience that I employed you about five different times.
That is true.
You left and I tried to hire you back.
Dale used to call me the Billy Martin of the Schultz office. But yes, full disclosure, and we've talked about it on this program several times. So I don't think it's a secret. But yes, I was once Dale's chief of staff, among other things. But go ahead, Dale.
And still one of my favorite people.
Well, thank you.
Let me just say, not only have both my daughters and my wife and I graduated from the University of Wisconsin, both of my wife's parents have graduated, and both of my parents have graduated, and my wife's grandfather graduated from UW-Madison. So, yes, this family bleeds Badger red, and we have long believed that our economic prosperity in this state hinges on quality education at the local level, the university and technical level, and been, I think, pretty fierce defenders of it. I one time had UW Chancellor say to me, well, your family's done a lot for the university. And I said, no, Chancellor, you have it wrong. The university has done a lot for our family. And that's kind of where I'd like to start by making those statements.
I appreciate it, Dale. Again, yes, I've worked for you before. And I've told people, both on this show and other places just out and about, I would tell people this anecdote, these stories of having staffed you in Senate caucuses, Senate Republican caucuses. And it wouldn't even necessarily be a controversial policy item, but you would chime in and simply put up your hand and say, hey, I was talking to so-and-so at UW-Madison, and you were simply bringing forth a fact, not an opinion, a fact. And you wouldn't even be able to get that out of your mouth before a colleague would interrupt you and dismiss it as quote, you know, progressive liberal propaganda. Dale, I want you to confirm that, number one. And number two, do you see an erosion of this kind of belief in the Wisconsin idea amongst Republicans, at least in the state Senate?
Well, first things first, yes, that happened not just once, but it happened many times. And it's very sad because it's indicative of, I think, the direction our society has been going. We're less concerned about ideas and exploring them as a group, and we're more interested in lazily following along behind leaders whose main function seems to be to scare us or to own somebody else, own the libs or own the conservatives or whatever. And I think we're poor for that. And you know, I think about what made me a Republican in the first place, an appreciation of Abraham Lincoln, who, you know, was probably as responsible as anybody in putting together extensions at our universities and extending the virtues of education to the borders of state. No state has profited more than the state of Wisconsin. And it was a great honor to be the chair of the Senate Committee on Higher Education, and I saw it as my job to make certain that our university system was doing the best job to service the next generation of students coming up in our state, and continuing to consult and provide support for our economic enterprises, whether it's farming or the business community.
I want to get to Jason, but really quickly, Dale, I guess my point is, I mean, whether it was a guy, not everybody's going to remember these names, but Mike Ellis, the former Senate leader, the Republicans as well. You know, Mary Panzer, a former Senate leader as well. Carol Bittner, wrestler. I mean, I could go on and on. There were, Republicans that would have policy disagreements, but they still believe in the Wisconsin idea. Dale, I don't see anybody, and I want to, but I don't see anybody on the Republican side who's standing up for the Wisconsin idea.
Well, I think you put your finger on it. We've become so extreme, a forum or a group of people whose job it is to explore ideas with us has become increasingly unpopular. And frankly, I can't think of more than one or two, maybe one legislator in the Republican caucuses who I would regard as a champion for higher education. And I think that's dangerous. And I think it's sad because, quite frankly, when economic development becomes lowering the age at which students, young people can work in bars or work with dangerous chemicals rather than giving them the kind of education that will allow them to get the very best of the new generation jobs, we're in trouble. And I think that's where we're at right now.
Jason Stein is the research director of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. I guess if we're going back to Old Home Week, Jason, I first met you when you worked in the paper business covering the state Senate and knowing you a long time as well. I appreciate you coming in on short notice. You wrote this great article, great writing and reporting, but disturbing, called Falling Behind. You were the lead author on that in December of 2020. People can find it at wisconsinpolicyforum.org. You talked about this, Jason, this lack of funding. This isn't something just started last week. Talk to us about this history of lack of funding.
No, look, I mean, and we in many ways predicted that things like this were going to happen, and we would have very much preferred to be wrong about that. But the reality is that, you know, and rather than be vindicated, be wrong. But, you know, here we sit. So what we were pointing out at the time was that we're coming off a decade in which you had no real growth in state tax funding for the university system. You had tuition, which was frozen for a decade, essentially. You had declining birth rates in the state that was essentially leading to declining enrollment, and even declining enrollment rates for the students that were graduating high school. And then last, you had COVID on top of that. And so we looked at all that and we said, look, we're not moving in a sustainable direction here for our current higher education system. So we're either going to have more inputs or we're going to have less output. And, you know, I think that is largely coming to pass here before our eyes.
As someone who's followed the UW system and politics for a long time in the state of Wisconsin, Jason, do you think I'm on track or off track? Does there seem to be a true lessening of transparency when it comes to what's going on at UW system? I mean, I haven't heard, I know it's a woman. I can't tell you who the president of the Board of Regents right now is because you never hear from them. I mean, the governor in the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, I've heard nothing from him today on what's happening at the system. Why is there this lack? Am I correct? Or tell me the truth. Am I off on that? Is there a lack of transparency or not, or an increased lack? And then B, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think we do want to hear more about these changes that are happening. I think, you know, one thing in particular that I would like to hear more about, and it may be that the system is publishing this as we speak, and I just haven't seen it yet, but I'd like to hear what the plans are for dealing with the students that are affected by these closures. So, you know, there's obviously students that are in the institutions right now, and, you know, you'd like to see a plan for how we're going to minimize the impact to them. There's going to be an impact, but how we minimize it. I think going forward, you know, obviously enrollment has fallen substantially, especially at these two-year campuses, and there may need to be some changes, but I have not seen the legislature really fully maybe engage on that either to say, okay, are we going to have hearings for if we as a legislature are making a policy decision not to put a lot of additional funding into higher education? And these cuts are going to happen. How are they going to happen? And are we making sure that that's, you know, being done with minimal disruption? I haven't really seen that. It may be happening, but it hasn't come to my attention.
Dale Schultz, to Jason's point, you've been a part of the Save Our Campus group in Richland Center where you and your wife live. But yes, they keep bringing out this narrative of low enrollment. But you know full well, and John Poole, our guest, the first segment, confirm this, that the local folks were going to give $600,000 to hire a recruiter, and Platteville and System said no. To Jason's point, if you don't invest in higher education, how do you expect enrollment to stay high?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And then they
pointed to dropping enrollments in our public schools. Well, there's some truth to that, but they failed to mention that the reason for that is that the state legislature has seen fit to fund a competitor to public education. And of course, we don't ever have a real discussion about the number of those kids, where they're going, et cetera. And we've just had, I think Jason really made a good point about planning. There isn't any plan in the state legislature. There isn't any plan in the Board of Regents. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm not hearing it from anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our university. It belongs to all of us. And I think we repeatedly made the comment at Richland Center, all we wanted was some honesty, some transparency, and some civic engagement. And you know, because you covered the event, when our legislators showed up in Richland Center, they declared they were going to give everybody 2 minutes. And then out of the generosity of their heart, they said they'll give everybody who showed up 3 minutes. And they said, oh, by the way, we're not going to respond to anything you have to say. So the 120 people who came to that meeting hoping for a reasonable dialogue with their legislators, nobody was impolite during that meeting. They got nothing. They got absolutely pushed out the door. Now, bear in mind, at that point, the state of Wisconsin was looking at, almost a $7 billion surplus, and they claimed they couldn't come up with money to keep the campus open. And I just think that there are increasingly more and more people who are realizing that this polarization that we have in our society, this you can't touch me attitude in the legislature, has been a bad thing for our state, and it's getting worse, not better.
Jason Stein and Dale Schultz, we put this thing together on the fly as news broke today. I appreciate you. So I'm going to ask you on real time here on the air. Do you have five more minutes for us? Can you guys stick around or not?
Sure.
Okay. All right, cool. We're up against a break, but I want to come back and I want to talk about this because Jason, in your writing and your reporting falling behind, you talked about comparing, and Dale brings up a great point. When President Rothman says we have to compete, how can we compete when we're not keeping up with funding from other states? We're going to talk to Jason Stein, going to talk to Dale Schultz. Don't go anywhere. This is a special report, UW System in Crisis, a special edition of the Tom Lobel Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network, the University of Wisconsin System in Crisis. It is Tuesday, October 17th, 2023. If you are listening to us on a Saturday or Sunday, that's because Mr. Zabers have already decided this is the hour we're going to replay over the weekend. So if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, everything you've heard this hour is from this past Tuesday. Of course, we are live right now here at the World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Joining us right now, Jason Stein, who is the Research Director for Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan group, and who looks at policy, tax issues, financial issues across the state of Wisconsin, and also former state senator, former majority leader, Republican Dale Schultz, also the former chair of the Higher Education Committee for the state Senate. Talking about this crisis at UW, it was announced last night that UW-Oshkosh would see one in six jobs eliminated due to the deficit. In addition, President Rothman of the UW system is going to close the Fond du Lac campus, the two-year satellite of Oshkosh. In addition, permanently close UW-Richland and also suspending classes at UW-Washington County. Then today, a legislative committee said they will not give these 6% pay raises that was approved in the budget to UW system employees because Robin Voss, Speaker of the Assembly, and others in the Republican caucus disagree with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Jason Stein, I want to start with you. You have written this great article back in 2020, Falling Behind, the lead author, outlining just from a financial standpoint, a competitive standpoint, and the University of Wisconsin system as compared to others. Yes or no, that the funding for Wisconsin's public education system, higher ed, has not kept up with others?
It hasn't kept up with inflation or with sort of higher education nationally. I mean, I think one area, and we did a separate report on this last year, is student financial aid. So as we look at, hey, in not only are the number of students graduating high school and available to go to college going down, but we're also the enrollment rates of those students who are completing high school are also going down. I think financial aid is one thing that we could look to as a state to make higher education more in the grasp of these students. And that could be, you know, that could be at the, in our technical college system or at the UW system. So that's the first point I would make. And then one other point is when we did the big report that you've referenced in 2020, we looked at this issue of campus closures and we looked at, you know, what would you save if you closed one small four-year campus like Superior, Parkside, or Green Bay, and all 13 at the time, former UW colleges, the two-year campuses. And we found that the savings would be 3 to 4% of the tax and tuition budget of the UW system. So, you know, on the one hand, these are very big events for the communities where they happen, and there is some savings associated with them. But the thing about small campuses is their budgets are also small. So there's going to be some savings to the system from doing these moves, and in some cases, right-sizing may be needed. But it's not going to be transformational in terms of the impact on the system's budget.
Dale Schultz, former Senator Dale Schultz, and full disclosure, my former boss, you've chaired the higher ed committee. You know exactly what Jason's talking about. For years, it was rumored that, oh, we should close Superior or Parkside. Nobody ever did that. And to Jason's point, you really don't get a lot of savings. Your former colleague, Rob Coles, who did outstanding work on the audit committee in the state Senate, was removed by the president, Lemahue, of the state Senate. Isn't it time, Dale, that we have an audit of the entire UW system?
Well, absolutely. And I would also like to say that I believe that the reason Rob Coles was removed from his position is that he was honest. He was fiercely protective of the auditors, and he wanted the truth to come out. He didn't want to be put in a position where he had to deliver a result for legislative leadership. That's what civil servants should be able to expect when their performance is being judged, and that's what legislators should do. And I think that that's a great tragedy. But I would say if we're going to have a study, we better have some people in charge who have credibility And the legislature these days seems to have less and less credibility. And I think that's sad. I think it's really sad.
What do you make of this? Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to come back and mention something. Remember, we're having this discussion when right now we have in excess of a $4 billion budget. Mm-hmm. And we have the legislature pressing at every turn. I just read an article from a legislator saying, talking about the need for a tax cut and defending the idea that somebody making $120,000 as a family should have virtually the same marginal tax rate as somebody making $8 million a year. As a society, we always prided ourselves on a progressive system of taxation. But since we've gone down this route in the last 10 years, we never seem to have enough money to satiate those people who want tax cuts. The big change where it's occurred is in access to higher education. Those two-year campuses are vitally necessary for families who are producing their first college entrant with their children. And, you know, piling debt on them is burying them and dooming them to a life of debt. And it shouldn't surprise anybody that they decide that they're not going to get higher education when they're being priced out of it.
Gentlemen, two minutes left. I want to give you each a minute to final thoughts on this, but your quick take: Rothman and UW System spending close to $500,000 to rebrand UW System into the Wisconsin colleges. It seems like, Jason Stein, you could have found a better use for $500,000.
Look, I mean, at the overall state level, I think the thing that I would leave the listeners with is, you know, we need accountants, we need engineers, we need nurses. And to produce those individuals, those future workers for our economy, is not an act of charity. It's an act of providence that we do as a state to make sure that we have the wherewithal over the next generation to make our economy work. So there's obviously tough choices that are going to be needed here. But I think the big picture that we should all have is that, you know, at some point we will be in the nursing home or we will be in need of professionals. And, you know, it's important that we have as a state have the professionals there to do that work.
Former State Senator Dale Schultz, I'll give you the last 45 seconds. Your final thoughts on this, and what do you make of this rebranding?
Well, I think rebranding before you have a degree of planning that is honest and transparent and it has a substantial amount of civic engagement is an enormous mistake. But it's typical what we've seen out of this legislature, out of this Board of Regents, and this administration. And I certainly hope somebody wakes up and does something, or kids will not be able to afford higher education in the future. It's already getting unbearable.
Jason Stein, Research Director of Wisconsin Policy Forum, former State Senator Dale Schultz, I thank you both. Your calls on the other side. This has been a special report of the Todd Allball Show, University of Wisconsin System in Crisis.
I'm Dr. Stork. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. With more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties. Classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tech.